This is Digital Story Podcast number 791, May 18th, 2021. Today's theme is, It's Spring, 5 Tips to Clean Up Your Photography Act. I'm Derek Story. Spring cleaning shouldn't be limited to our yards, garages, and closets. We get behind on photography-related tasks as well. It's not that we're lazy or distracted. Okay, well, maybe distracted. It's just that we forget to do certain things that may really help us in the long run. Consider today's show a handy checklist for those springtime tasks. Look at it this way. Every one of these is more fun than cleaning the garage. I hope you enjoy the show. I remember a while back, I saw a pie chart on how a professional photographer's time was spent over the course of a week. And ironically, about 15% of it was actually taking pictures. Now, having done that and doing that still myself, I can totally relate to that. It's interesting, all the things that are related to photography that do not actually involve using a camera. Now, fortunately, as enthusiasts, we have far fewer business chores to attend to. But that doesn't mean we're off the hook entirely. There are certain things that we want to do to ensure the safety of our equipment, of our images, and just, you know, enhancing our workflow and enjoying our craft as much as possible. And the 5 things that I'm going to talk about today fall into those categories. So let's start with the first one right now. These are 5 things that may have slipped through the cracks recently, or even longer, right? Even longer, but can prove very useful over time. First one, firmware updates. Firmware updates. And, you know, I'm usually pretty good about firmware updates, but I had one slip recently. It was funny. Oh, it's for my X100V, my Fujifilm X100V. So I saw that a firmware update had been out for a while that I missed. And I said, oh, well, let me take a look at that, see what's there. And there was all sorts of stuff there, including being able to use my X100V as a webcam, USB webcam, with the new Fujifilm webcam app, which is a big deal because that's the camera that's in my backpack all the time. If I can use that as a webcam, I can, you know, work from the road, which is exactly what I did. I was down at my mom's house, you know, the kids take turns, you know, kind of hanging out and visiting her and all that sort of stuff. And so I was down there in a Southern California visit, and it was the first day of my iPhone Pro Photography Workshop. And so I was able to use the X100V as my webcam instead of the Pen F that I have set up here at the studio. And it worked great. And here I was all set up. I had my laptop out, I had a little microphone, had my X100V broadcasting from my mom's dining room. It looked fabulous. It actually did. I'm surprised that some people didn't ask me the second week, well, what happened to that cool backdrop that you had the first week? They're probably thinking it and just, you know, were too polite to mention it to me. At any rate, that happened because of a firmware update. Just, you know, hey, download it, install it, and you get all these new features. There could be things for your camera and your lenses that you're not aware of, new features or fixes of things that weren't working quite as well as they should. So it's always good on a regular basis, and what I mean regular, I mean once or twice a year at least, to go through the devices that you're using, check and see that they have the latest firmware, and if they don't, update them so that you can take advantage of all these cool things that the camera manufacturers are working very hard to provide to us for free. I mean, that's the thing I really love about firmware updates. They don't cost us anything, but yet we get stuff. Does it get any better than that? I don't think so. All right. So number one, check your firmware updates. If you haven't done that for a while, who knows? You may have some real nice surprises there waiting for you. Second one, equipment inventory. Now, I'm sure that I just did one not too long ago. So I looked this up, and yes, that's true. It was more than 5 years ago. 5 years ago since I did the last equipment inventory. I cannot believe it. And I had not updated it since. Wow, time flies, right? Time flies when you're sheltered in place. At any rate, my gear has changed a lot since then. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. So I highly recommend trying to keep your equipment inventory up to date. And that means, you know, pictures of your stuff. You don't have to do individual pictures. We've learned through the fires up here in Northern California that insurance company accepts group pictures as long as they can identify the different items in the shot. So group pictures are fine. You want to get serial numbers, or at least show them in some of the shots that way. And if you can, any information about purchase information that you may have, that's a good thing too. This equipment inventory comes in handy for a number of things. One of them I just mentioned, insurance purposes in case something happens, you know, flood, fire, hurricane, all that kind of stuff that we seem to be dealing with more and more these days. And then, of course, there's theft too, right? And then sometimes you just want to know what you have, which will lead up to the next one that I'm going to talk about in a second. So if you haven't done your equipment inventory in a while, then I highly recommend that you put that on your checklist. You know, get everything, you know, photographed and documented and put in a safe place, in a couple safe places if you can. And then that way, if you do need it, it's right there and it's up to date. Now, the thing that I was referring to that might be related to your equipment inventory, this is item number 3, which is get rid of gear that you're not using. It's amazing how fast we accumulate new gear. Even when we're not buying brand new cameras and lenses and stuff, but there's other things, you know, tripods, accessories, flashes, you know, all that stuff, right? All that stuff. And, you know, it just kind of keeps growing and growing. And if we don't thin it out on a regular basis, then we just end up with a bunch of stuff that would probably be valuable if we sold it in a timely manner. But if we wait too long, it may lose some of its value. And then we sort of miss out on the boat. Now, the reason why I say this is tied to number 2, because as you go through and you do your equipment inventory, then you can really take a look at what you have and what you're using and go, you know what? I'm just not using that lens anymore because I have this lens and that lens, and they both cover that same use or that same focal length or that same maximum aperture, whatever it happens to be. I think I can let that lens go. And so you go through and you mark that and you mark that. I've done this with my film photography gear because, you know, it kind of comes in and then I use it. And then more stuff comes in and I've got to remember to move out the old stuff or I'm going to be buried in this, right? we haven't seen Derek in a while. Let's see if we can pry him out of his studio. I think he's buried in analog film gear. So you want to go through and take a look at what you have, which is the equipment inventory. Then while you're doing that, mark the stuff that you can move along. Move it along, right? There's a number of different ways. And I'll tell you, one way that I never would have imagined works well for moving along used gear. And a friend told me about this. I would have never thought of it, but Facebook Marketplace for selling used gear. I used to do like Craigslist and stuff like that. And someone said, no. Go to Facebook Marketplace and put it on there. And when I was going through upgrading the house and kind of getting rid of some old pieces and, you know, just kind of thinning things out, really. It wasn't upgrading, I was thinning it is what I was doing. I started using Facebook Marketplace to move that stuff along. And I was getting 10 times the interest on Facebook Marketplace that I was getting other places. So that might be a place that works for you for your extra camera gear that you need to move along. So that's item number three. Get rid of the gear that you're not using after you've done your inventory. Take that money and put it in a stash fund, right? A gear fund. Let it accumulate a little bit. Then that way, when something comes along that you really want, like the next Olympus camera body that comes later this year, possibly, or early next year, you'll have a little bit of cash to purchase it. Item number four, test your backup. Now, I know you're already backing up your valuable images and your documents. That's a given, right? Anyone that listens to this podcast knows that they should be backing up and possibly backing up in more than one place. However, the other part to that is testing your backup on a regular basis, and I mean once or twice a year, whether it's a hard drive backup or cloud backup or whatever. Try doing a restore of a group of images or a catalog or, you know, whatever you normally would try to restore from your backup, and make sure that it's working, because it doesn't do any good to back stuff up if you can't get it back when you need it. So you have to test your backup once a year minimum. Twice a year is much better. Probably IT specialists will tell you more often than that. But, you know, I try to walk the line between what the experts recommend and what I think is actually practical for us to do, what's truly realistic, considering that a lot of us, myself included, haven't done a lot of these things in a much longer period of time than we thought. Okay, so test your backup to make sure that whatever system you have in place is working and that you know that you can count on it if indeed you need to tap it. The fifth item, clean off your laptop hard drive. This is for laptop users, but we're coming in to here north of the equator anyway. We're coming into the good time of year to take pictures. We're coming out of shelter in place. There's a lot of factors that are happening all at once that will probably mean that we're going to be sending a lot more stuff onto our computer than we had been over the last year. So you want to make sure that your computer is nice and clean and that you don't find yourself in the position of suddenly having a memory card full of great images and nowhere to put them. Right. And then you have that whole chain effect, which you don't want to do that way. What you want to do is when you don't have that memory card full of great images, you want to address that issue of that drive getting kind of full. You want to methodically, you know, move the images, back them up, clean it off. You don't want to do it in a rush. You don't want to make any hasty decisions with your existing content. Do it in a methodical way, and then that way, when you do have that memory card full of stuff, you have a place to put it, and you don't have to worry about losing the stuff that was on there before because you were, you know, say, hey, I got to get rid of some stuff here, and oh, I didn't mean to erase that. That's a terrible feeling, isn't it? I didn't mean to erase that. Clean off your laptop hard drive now. Have it all ready to go for what I'm hoping is a very active and creative spring and summer and into fall for all of us, so that we can go out there and get lots of great shots and we have a good place to put them. So now you may not have time for all of these, but I'm telling you, just accomplishing one or two off this list can really pay off big up the road. So just to review, firmware updates, equipment inventory, getting rid of gear that you're not using, testing your backup, and clean off your laptop hard drive. Those are my spring cleaning tips for photographers. I hope you have a great spring. And then after you're done with all of that, yes, you better go tackle the garage as well. Here's a headline that we have seen a lot over the last few years. News Corp Australia has laid off the last of its photographers. And this is a report on Petapixel. I have the link to the original article in the show notes, so you can go over there and read all of it. Let me read you a few paragraphs right now, and then I'll also comment. News Corp Australia has reportedly laid off the last of its staff photographers and converted fully to using freelancers, according to a new report. The last 8 photographers were informed last week that their positions were being made redundant. According to The Guardian, the Rupert Murdoch-owned publication giant called the last photographers who worked for the G-Log Advisor, the NT News, the Hobart Mercury, Townsville Bulletin, and Gold Coast Bulletin into a management meeting and were told that they would be replaced by freelancers. The report also states that those 8 staff members, the last of the full-time staff that once numbered over 100, were given the opportunity to purchase their staff photography equipment at discounted prices and come back as outsourced freelance labor. News Corp has been moving toward a freelance model when it comes to photography for several years. Last year, the company let its chief photographer, Gary Ramage, go, and in November, it cut 16 photography positions out of 25 total jobs it eliminated. So this is the way that it goes. I'm not reading you this story because I'm going to criticize News Corp for what it's doing or any of that kind of stuff. It is what it is. And I think what it is that we are moving away from staff jobs and photography. I think we've basically moved away from staff jobs and photography more to a freelance model for all of us. And the thing about freelance model is, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, is that it doesn't come with anything. It is the ultimate a la carte. In other words, you know, there's no health care, there's no vacation time, there's no PTO, there are no benefits. You know, what you get is, you know, a certain amount of time for an assignment. You do that, you have to submit an invoice for that. And then hopefully you get paid within 30, 60, 90 days, depending on, you know, who you're working for. And then you have to string those together, those types of jobs together. Now, what freelance photography has done for a lot of us in this business, it has forced us to diversify beyond shooting. In other words, I think it's rare these days that one can survive by photography alone. And when I mean photography alone, just taking pictures alone. I think that is a rare bird indeed. And part of the reason why I'm even talking about this with you is because you are the influencer, you know, in your community, in your circles. You're the person that other people come to for advice or to bounce ideas off. And I really think that encouraging someone to go into professional photography without discussing with them the nature of the business these days, which is contract and freelancer oriented, I think is a disservice, you know, and I think it's setting them up for most likely failure. And we don't want to see that. We don't want to see that with people that we care about or that we like or that come to us for advice. So then the advice is these days, yes, if you love photography, if you have a talent for it, if you think you're good at it, go for it, but build a plan bigger than just shooting. Build a plan for other things that will contribute to your revenue stream that are photography related, hopefully, that round you out as an artist and as a business person. But don't think that you're going to be able to go out there and just make a living taking pictures. The odds of that happening are very slim. The freelancers I know right now who were once full-time photographers, including for Sports Illustrated and other publications, they took a pay cut when they went from staff photographer to freelancer. You know, their bottom line shrank. And you just have to be ready for that. You have to be prepared for that. And you have to come up with things to offset that if you're going to continue to do what you love to do. Speaking of such things, I have a new release out, Capture One Pro 21 Essential Training. I think I touched on this last week. I just want to mention it again in case you missed last week's show. The cool thing about this training is that Capture One Pro 21 came out with some very nice features, you know, style brushes, things like that. And as Capture One does sometimes, they've, you know, this has happened before. Then a little while later, they come out with a 0.1 release that has some pretty big things in it. And what I figured out is that those are the features that they really wanted in the initial release. They weren't quite ready yet or whatever. So they continued to refine them and work on them and then release them in the 0.1 release. So what I did was, and this is through no intention of my own, it just worked out this way through contract negotiations, production time, you know, all that stuff that we have to deal with to produce one of these things, is that the recording I did includes the 0.1 release as well. So you get all the new stuff from both the initial release and the 0.1 release in this training. Yeah. And what was really cool about it, the 0.1 came out right as I was getting ready to start recording, so it's very fresh indeed. Now, the thing that I particularly like in the 0.1 release, and I'm using it a lot, is the image browser. I just love this. You know, this is the kind of stuff that I wish was in Photos, you know, where you had some control over the import processing or more control over the import process. And so with Capture One Pro 21, not only can you add metadata, IPTC metadata and so forth when you import, not only can you set up automatic adjustments when you import, all that kind of stuff, all of that, file renaming, it's all good, so good. But now you can also have an image browser where you get a big picture of the image that's on the card. You haven't brought it in yet, still on the card. You can look at it and then just use the space bar to do yay or nay. And so if you've got a whole bunch of shots on a card and you know that, you know, you're going to end up throwing away 3/4 of them anyway, why not just save yourself the trouble and don't import them in the first place? Do your image browsing right away, right up front, and only bring in the shots that you want. And I just love this. You know, I do a lot of infrared these days. You know, I got really excited about it during shelter in place. It kind of saved me during shelter in place, at least artistically. But, you know, in infrared, there's a lot of trial and error. There's a lot of missteps. There's a lot of things that really don't turn out the way that you think they're going to. And then in there are some real gems. So I was going through this thing where initially I was just bringing in a ton of stuff that I ended up having to throw away or whatever. And then the image browser came along and I go, now this is nice. Now I'm only bringing in the stuff that I want, the experiments that worked, and I absolutely love it. So that's just one of the things that's in this new release of Capture One Pro 21. I have a complete training on it. It's on LinkedIn Learning. The link is in the show notes if you want to go over there and take a look at it. And then I also put a link to the overview movie on the digital story. I posted that story on Sunday. If you want to take a look at that as well, I think you'll enjoy it. And plus it has links to the rest of the training. So Capture One Pro 21, locked and loaded, ready to go with the latest stuff. I hope you enjoy it. And if you're thinking about this application, remember you can download a trial version for free, use it for, I believe, 14 days, do the training, and really figure out if this application is for you. The 5 favorite camera brands in Japan, and you won't believe who's first. I found this article on Digital Camera World, and I just thought it was really interesting because, you know, here in the U.S., I'm very U.S.-centric, and I try not to be because I have, you know, participants, community members all over the world. I follow press all over the world, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, still at the end of the day, sometimes I think, well, whatever I'm hearing a lot about here is probably the way it is the rest of the world. And you know what? That just isn't true, and it's particularly not true in Japan. So let me read you this article. And by the way, I have the link to the whole article in the show notes, and there's a lot of good information in there. I'm going to read you a couple paragraphs, and I'm going to give you the top 6 in Japan, all right? So here we go. Japan's favorite camera brand isn't Canon. It isn't Nikon. It isn't Sony or Olympus or Fujifilm. No, Japan's favorite camera brand is Pentax/Ricoh. That's according to the latest results in a survey being conducted by IT Media asking Japanese consumers to choose their favorite digital camera maker. And despite the best Pentax cameras all being DSLRs and facing quite a technological disparity compared to the likes of the best Canon cameras or the best Sony cameras, by the way, footnote, I disagree with that. Have they not seen the latest release from Pentax? Okay, end of footnote. That hasn't stopped Ricoh being Japan's most beloved brand in the camera industry. The survey, spotted by Pentax Rumors, and that may be a clue to things, I don't know, still has another 10 days to run, closing on May 27th. But so far, the results are pretty eye-opening. Almost a quarter of Japanese users say Pentax Ricoh is their favorite brand, with nearly a fifth pledging allegiance to Nikon. So I have no idea about the validity of this survey or who's really behind it or anything like this. This is for fun here. This is anecdotal at best. However, according to this survey, here are the top six, the top six favorite brands among consumers in Japan: Pentax, Nikon, Canon, Sony, Olympus, and Fujifilm rounds out the top six. So Pentax, Nikon, Canon, Sony, Olympus, and Fujifilm. First of all, from things that I had read, I thought Olympus was higher in Japan than number five. And I thought, well, I didn't even see the Pentax thing coming. And I really do dispute what they said in the blurb here. Despite Pentax not being able to compete with Sony and so forth on a technology basis, that's just not true. That latest Pentax camera, DSLRs, is a marvel when it comes to technology. So, you know, that right away, you know, it's funny. When you see something that you know is wrong, then you start to wonder about the whole thing. That's happening to me a little bit here. However, I have the link in the show notes. It is interesting nonetheless. And if it's true, it's amazing. And it just shows you that we have to be careful about thinking what's happening in our backyard is happening everywhere, because most of the time, that just ain't the case. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I have two seats remaining for our ultimate black and white photography workshop that's coming up in July. This is a terrific workshop. I've already done two of them this year, and they were fabulous. And then for this third one that we're going to do in July, I'm adding another component. I'm adding infrared black and white photography to the workshop. And now we're really going to have a lot of fun things to play with. Beautiful black and white photography can be yours. You're going to learn all sorts of new techniques. And what's fascinating about this workshop to me is not only the things that I have on the agenda to show you, but what the other photographers bring to the table. Just doubles, triples, quadruples the things that you get exposed to. So that's really fun. So we have two seats remaining for that. It's $145 for non-Inner Circle members, and that's for 4 weeks plus presentation. And then for Inner Circle members, it's only $130, and there's a discount code on our Patreon site. And Inner Circle members, go over there, get that discount code before you sign up. Two seats remaining. Now, some people asked me, or we had a discussion, I should say, in our last workshop, the one that just concluded on Saturday on iPhone Pro Photography Workflow, about keeping the numbers down. They go, well, you know, you're doing the thing online. Why don't you just have as many people who are interested in it? And I've learned an interesting thing while doing these online workshops, which is that the number of people that work in an online workshop is very close to the same that work in a physical workshop. Now, in a physical workshop for one instructor, I like eight. Eight's my maximum. After that, things don't work quite as well. And, you know, sometimes I'll make an exception to that rule, like husband, wife, bumps it up to nine or whatever. But generally speaking, I keep it to eight. For online workshops, that number isn't much higher. It's 10. And I have experimented with this. I've gone up as high as 15. and it's completely different. So this is not the thing where you can just sock in a bunch of people because it's an online event. If you want that workshop experience, that, you know, folks that like the way that I do workshops, you know, the very where you are involved, you are listened to, you are a participant, you have a place to ask questions, you can show your pictures, people know your name, they know who you are, you get screen time, you get airtime, you know, all that kind of stuff, you got to keep the number down. And so that's why these things tend to sell out so fast, and that's why I keep the numbers down. It's because quality is important in everything that we do in this community. And for online workshops, there is a magic number, and it isn't 100. I'm telling you that. All right. So anyway, 2 seats remaining on that Ultimate Black and White Photography Workshop. They'll probably fill up before too long. If you're interested in it, there's a link in the show notes. Go over there and take a look and see what you think. Speaking of our Inner Circle members, a big thanks to them for supporting our podcast and our community. Month in and month out, we have some new Inner Circle members. Welcome. So glad to have you here. One of our new Inner Circle members, Scott, came from the workshop. He was in the workshop, and then he decided to become a Patreon supporter. Thank you, Scott, and thank you others, too, who have joined us recently. The thing about the Inner Circle is it's a multi-dimension thing. For instance, right now, we're talking about a possible topic for an upcoming podcast. I wanted to run something by them because I wasn't sure about it, and I'm getting a ton of feedback. That is super helpful. That is super helpful. Obviously, they get discounts or freebies on everything that we do, so that's nice for them, but it also helps me bring people into these events that are, you know, the true supporters. They're knowledgeable. These are people that are passionate about photography. I love having those people at our events because, you know, they really add quality to what's going on. So this Inner Circle situation runs both ways. I totally appreciate all the members that we have. If you're interested in joining us, just click on the Patreon tile. It's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over there, take a look, and see what you think. Hopefully, you will join us. And finally, I want to give a big shout-out to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the folks that have supported this show month in and month out. Honestly, for as long as I can remember. For as long as I can remember. And yet, I think about them all the time. I mean, this is something that I never get tired of talking about. I never get tired of using their product. I never get tired at looking at a great print. And, you know, again, you know, we did this presentation on Saturday. You know what the ultimate compliment is for someone's image? Like when their image comes up on the screen and the whole workshop is there looking at it and we all go, wow, like that. The ultimate compliment is that you will hear it sooner or later. Someone will say, you should print that. You should print that. People say that all the time. That is the ultimate compliment for a really good image. And they are absolutely right. When you have created something that just, you know, checks all the boxes and people just look at it and right away they're drawn to it, that's the kind of stuff you should print and share with other people and put it on the wall and put it on fine art cards. Those are the kind of images that you want to commit to Red River Paper. Now, people like me that print a lot, I print other stuff too all the time. Sometimes not my best stuff, but it means something to someone else. Red River Paper is the place where you can get the paper, you can get the supplies and get the knowledge so that you can take your best images, put them on paper and share them with the world. They have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story, and I truly appreciate their support. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Please come back and join me. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.